You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class on this Monday, October 19th. So as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. I think it has stopped snowing here in the metro area. Snow squalls on October the 19th. Check it off the bingo card, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting tired of hearing that statement, but yeah, that's an early measurable snow here in 2020, and why not indeed. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as your mobile app and smart speakers as well. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. A lot to get to today. Mike Halas, Gazette Sports columnist, is going to be joining us. And plenty to talk about. It is Iowa game week. It is much more than that as far as Iowa off the football field is concerned. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. We've got the World Series matchup for you and many, many other things to chew on here as we take you through the next 54 minutes or so. What was your thoughts as you looked out your window today at about 10:45 or 11 o'clock or so and started to see snow piling up?
Huh? What?
That was pretty much my thinking as well.
It's white rain, right?
Well, the good news is that it's probably not going to stick around very long because, as Buttons told us, staff meteorologist, that it's supposed to be 73 degrees with thunderstorms on Thursday, so... Mm-hmm. Yay for Iowa weather. Supposed to be back up into the high 40s tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But that was it was a little bit of a white-knuckle ride for a while out there today. And man alive, it was a little slick out there earlier on.
Streets in town just coming over are pretty much fine. But I know over in central Iowa, Buttons is sharing that he has a relative over there. They got about 7 or 8 inches. If not more, and it was kind of a mess on I-35. If you have any traffic-related information to pass along to us, 366-1600 in the 319 area code. That's also our text line. Buttons across the glass, manning the phones.
Yeah, and again, be careful out there. A few slick spots in eastern Iowa, but for the most part, At least around the corridor anyway, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, the snow has subsided for today. We're going to get to a bevy of subjects coming up here in just a couple of moments. We'll talk about the retirement of the great Doc Emrick, as hockey will sound a whole lot different next year, that's for sure. And we'll talk about the passing of a legend, and maybe... We'll talk about this as well. Maybe the end of an era. I think it is the end of an era, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not, but we said goodbye Saturday, love him or hate him, to one of the greatest, Sid Hartman from the Twin Cities, and I would imagine at that great bar in heaven, it did not take very long for Sid to track down Brooksy and Gus and get into it again one more time.
Yeah, that was one of his favorite pastimes. And Sid Hartman, I'm not going to pretend to know him, but I shared several press boxes with him and got between him and Gus in the Metrodome one year when they were arguing. Argument started by Sid, by the way, over the Gophers and Hawkeyes and whatnot. And think about this, Scott. Sid Hartman worked in the newspaper business for 84 years. 84 of his 100 years.
He was still writing columns as a 100-year-old newspaper man.
Yeah, and he had a co-host of a radio show in the Twin Cities, WCCO, that he did regularly. And love him or hate him, he was, you know, if you were in Minnesota and said Sid, There was only one Sid.
There was only one Sid.
Sid Hartman. And I remember covering an Iowa-Minnesota game, staying overnight, picking up the Minneapolis Star Tribune the next morning. And Sid was allotted about 40 inches on page 2 of his Sunday column. And for you non-newspaper folks out there, that's 2 full columns. And when I was writing columns, I had 1. Sid had 2 and probably could have had more if he wanted to. One of the employees at the Star Tribune, I don't know how he came up with it, but counted over 21,000 bylines.
Wow.
For Sid in his career. And yeah, I agree with you. I think it's probably the end of an era. We've got Bob Ryan out in Boston, who is not close to 100, but
no, he is not.
Getting up there. But Sid comes from an era that where newspapers were the thing. There was no internet, no Twitter, no Facebook. It was very much the main means of communication, along with radio, and then television later on. He's a very enterprising guy. He sold newspapers before he was hired. He got into real estate in the Twin Cities.
The owner of the Minneapolis Lakers.
Yeah, and he was from an era that a lot of the columnists and writers were kind of boosters. Yes. Well, not kind of.
They were.
They were boosters, and that's
why
boosters. Sid Hartman got into it with Gus Schrader more than once, as I've outlined on the show before. But he'd poke Brooksy if the Gophers were beating the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I'd like to say it was sometimes good-natured fun, but I think it went a little further than that sometimes.
Sometimes escalated a little bit. We'll talk about Sid a little bit coming up in a few moments or so. 2142 on the text line with a traffic update. There is a delay on 380 northbound. It's not specific on exactly where that is located, but if you are northbound on 380, be aware of that. 1345 lets us know on the text line as well. The DOT is on Highway 13 putting down the salt brine probably for tonight because, yeah, it could get a little bit dicey as you get temperatures all hovering right around the freezing mark right now. But obviously they're going to go down a little bit and could see a little bit of that wet pavement start to freeze a little bit. So that's when it's going to get, unfortunately, a little bit messy. Coming up tonight. Let's see. Through 2142 is the delay is around Shoeyville, halfway between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, northbound.
Springville.
Well, that's
well,
not.
I probably think it, meant Shoeyville.
I think
yeah.
he meant Shoeyville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's off the beaten track of 380, isn't it?
Yes. 319-366-1600. But the big story. I guess. Iowa football is underway this week, Mark. The Hawkeyes will head to Purdue to take on the Boilermakers coming up on Saturday. No. And that is a big story. And Iowa State with a top 20 battle at Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. But we must start with the news that came out yesterday. And that, of course, having to do with it is not a lawsuit as of yet. But an impending lawsuit by 8 former African-American Iowa football players calling for $20 million, calling for several things, including the dismissals of Kirk Ferentz, Brian Ferentz, and Gary Barta, put out through, I believe, a Tulsa attorney. And it's not a coincidence at all that this news broke yesterday on the start of a game week for Iowa. A very good move by these particular players and the law firm that they are associated and tied to. But it brings up a lot of questions. I think there was, you run the gamut yesterday and run the spectrum yesterday of the reaction to what happened and the news when this was released. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register had this, as well as the Daily Iowan. had this information as well. And when it first came out, I think that you, like I said, I think you ran the gamut. You had some people that were just outraged by this. You had some people that were, okay, yeah, more things are going to happen. Well, we've had 24 hours almost now to kind of process this a little bit. And I know Chad put out something today as far as Hawk Central and the Des Moines Register is concerned. I thought that broke it down very, very well. I did not expect this to come out, but he said maybe we should have expected this to come out.
Yeah, I agree on the timing. This letter was sent October 5th, and the lawyer for these players gave Iowa a deadline of today to respond. Iowa already has responded. No money, no firings. Period. Kirk Ferentz had a brief statement yesterday saying he was disappointed in the demand letter. And to me, I mean, the timing is pretty clever of game week. What's new here? Other than the fact that a letter was sent to Iowa and a lawsuit may be pending, nothing's really new. And in fact, many of the demands that the lawyer and the players are making have already been addressed.
By the Hush Blackwell investigation over the summer.
Yeah, and I think these players, while I don't have any reason to doubt them, some of their comments have been refuted. Iowa's taken many steps in terms of trying to right these wrongs, and it's going to take some time firing Chris Doyle, a 20-year sergeant, a second in command, you could say, in the Iowa football program. He was the target of many of the arrows. But look at the eight players that are involved in this suit. Four of them transferred during their Iowa career. Now, was it because of the treatment they allegedly received, or was it because they didn't like to be pushed? They weren't good enough to find the field at Iowa.
They didn't have the playing time.
It could be one of, I don't know. And each of them have come out with certain allegations toward the program in terms of racial discrimination or treatment. Marcel Jolly, I mean, he had two carries at Iowa. What I'm getting at is, can you make an argument for sour grapes? Akram Wadley and Kevontae Martin Manley, the two,
by far the top two players.
Top two players in terms of their success at Iowa. Again, no reason to doubt what they had to say, but let's vet. Akram Wadley had allegations of, for one thing, he didn't want to put weight on against the coach's recommendations. Number two, there are a lot of allegations of him accepting some money in exchange for signed merchandise that was never returned. Again, those are allegations, but there are plenty of them. I talked to a couple people today that were the subject of that. Where does it go? Will this lawyer, who, by the way, is a former Oklahoma football player, neither here nor there, but probably knows a thing or two about college football. Where it goes, we'll see. Iowa has already responded. Now the ball is in the court of the lawyer and the eight players. During the summer, there was allegedly 60-some players who came out with comments about racial treatment in the Iowa program. And we've got eight here. But they're demanding $10 million for alleged loss of professional opportunities, number one. What professional opportunities? Wadley was signed and cut by the Tennessee Titans and cut by the XFL. He got opportunities. Manley might have got a sniff. I can't remember. But these other guys didn't have any professional opportunities. They weren't good enough. And was it because of the racial treatment they allegedly received at the University of Iowa?
Or blackballed. They were alleging that they were blackballed by Kirk Ferentz. with NFL executives.
Pain and suffering. Emotional and mental distress. Perhaps that's going to be a little difficult to prove in my mind.
Especially well after the case.
Yeah, some of these guys played 5, 6, 7 years ago at Iowa.
Very much so. 319-366-1600. Love to hear your comments about this. Again, that's 319-366-1600 out there. That's our text line. That is our phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600. And we are not saying at all that Iowa is completely innocent here, or the Iowa coaching staff or the Iowa athletic department is completely innocent and everything. And that was shown by the findings in the Hush Blackwell.
Absolutely.
Iowa has some work to do. And when Kirk Ferentz had one of his many Zoom meetings over the summer, Gary Barta with one of his Zoom meetings over the summer as well, they addressed the situation that things have been better. They have addressed what needs to be addressed and are moving on and trying to get better with this. And then now all of a sudden you have this coming out. You have this coming out during the start of the first game week of the season. Is it a situation where these players are trying to, okay, we know we're probably not going to get Kirk Ferentz stepping down. We're not going to have Gary Barta stepping down. We're not going to have Brian Ferentz stepping down. But we can do as much as we can to try to implode this program, which has already taken place today. Iowa has had a committing defensive back out of his commitment today because of these racial allegations. A young man from the university or from the state of Florida who is now twice has reneged out of his verbal commitment for the Hawkeyes.
Well, there are some folks out there in the media and fans that I think want a pound of flesh out of the Iowa program. And is that right? Well, you decide. But
and I'm not saying Iowa it's true. I mean, that I'm not saying that it's good. I'm saying that it's not a good situation, and it should be addressed. And you got to take Kirk Ferentz and Gary Barta at their word right now due to the Hush Blackwell findings and saying, okay, we're doing this.
And they have, starting with the firing of Chris Doyle in pretty short order, and then taking steps, forming a council of former black players to advise about what's going on in the program and kind of relaxing some rules that were in place before, including the use of social media. And we've heard more than once from the coaches, including a week or two ago when we had a parade of coaches talking down at the University of Iowa, and players have said as well, things are better. Is it over? My point is that Iowa acknowledged there were problems, and I've taken steps to rectify the situation and make it better going forward. Now, did past behavior by coaches or otherwise cause emotional and mental distress to the point that maybe a little money will help me with this emotional and mental distress? James Daniels, who is at the forefront of the comments last summer, said just basically we just want improvement. And as far as I can tell from the coaches and the players, things have improved, and it's a work in progress, no question about it.
Couple of comments on the text line right now, 3349. You probably had more than 200 African-American players in the 20-plus years of Kirk Ferentz, and there are only 8 names on the letter. 6429, as we have seen, things like this happen everywhere, and Iowa has a ways to go to correct the problems. However, if Iowa was to pay anything, other schools would have to pay even more. David and Hudson again, Akram supposedly, and this is a credibility issue with Akram Wadley as well, supposedly wanted his brother to get a scholarship and attend Iowa. Why would you do that if you hated it here? And then also 43-98, with the racial tensions being the way they are now, I wouldn't say this is a slam dunk for Iowa. If this goes to court, Barta can find a way to screw this up. I'll tell you right now, with everything that happened with the Grease Bomb Meyer situation and other situations, and with just my gut reaction on what Iowa already has put out there, I don't think Iowa wants to fight anything in court anymore. And I think that my gut says Iowa, if this goes and somehow ends up a lawsuit, whatever the case may be, Iowa probably would settle. Now, I don't think that's going to look very good for Iowa. It almost looked like an admission of guilt, but who knows how this is all going to play out. And it's going to go all over again. Instead of Hush Blackwell taking care of it behind closed doors in the summer, this is going to be front page news.
Well, in regards to 3349's comment about more than 200 black players in the 20 years of Kirk Ferentz, I would submit that it's probably more, but I don't know, and only 8 names on the letter. Yeah, it's not every black player, and not every player has had an issue with anything that's gone on in the program. This summer, we had Jermell Lewis, former Iowa running back, on the show. He had nothing but good things to say about Ferentz and Doyle and whatnot, and never experienced any issues, the likes of which have been brought forward this summer. So not every player felt the same way or experienced the same thing.
Yeah. Let's bring in our friend Joel from Muscatine here at 3:26 on the Monday edition of the snowy gym class program today. Hi, Joel. How you doing?
Good. You stole my thunder a little bit. Scott, you kind of said what I was going to say, in that the thing with this is I'm curious to see, too, David Porter, I know, is the head of that players task force, mm-hmm. if you will, of former players, and I've met him several times. His wife actually attended law school at Iowa with my brother. And I'd be really interested to see his perspective or hear his perspective and maybe even his wife's perspective. So I believe she's actually a civil rights attorney. I could be wrong on that. But the thing is if this does go through with a Title IX lawsuit, then these 8 players' total collegiate records become available too. So they better hope that they have tremendous credibility given the allegations that they are bringing forward, because it could go real south real fast and look like extortion's the wrong word, but look like they are unfounded in their requests. So I don't know if this is a gamble on their part, or maybe they really do have an airtight case. But I'll be interested to see. I know Alfredo Parrish is also involved in this as well as an attorney, and Iowa fans are very familiar with his work as well. So it could be really shaky. But like I said, Scott, I apologize. The university has shown that they'll settle in these cases because the Jane Meyer thing was just so bad. So I'll be interested to see if they end up settling on the swimming Title IX. And if they end up settling on this. But I think that we can't litigate the past. All we can do is litigate the future. And I think the book is still being written. But I wouldn't be shocked if Ferentz retires in the next 2 years because he's just tired of it. I mean, I would be if I were him. And if that day comes, let's go make a Chris Kleiman call at Kansas State.
I just signed a fat contract.
I'm pretty sure Iowa could buy out a Big 12 contract.
Oh, man. All right,
thanks. Bring him and Courtney Messingham back to Iowa. All right, see you.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600.
Well, any other times, Iowa would be flush with money.
But they are right now.
But we're talking about 2020 and how that may be different.
And one of the so-called demands of this group of 8 is that Iowa hire a liaison, if you will, to help out and coordinate things with the athletic department and African-American athletes.
Isn't that Broderick Benz's job?
I got to think that's under his umbrella and jurisdiction right now. Iowa or any other Power 5 school is probably not going to be hiring pretty high-paid positions in the athletic department at this present time in 2020 with COVID going on right now and with the coffers pretty much scraped to the bottom. It's just not going to happen at this case.
Let's remember, at this point in time, it's a letter with demands. There has been no lawsuit filed. Perhaps there will be tomorrow or the next day or the next day. But we have no lawsuit right now. We have a letter that's been rejected by the University of Iowa. That's all we have.
Right. We're going to talk about this more with Mike Halas here in just a couple of minutes, as Mike, of course, covers the Hawkeyes as well as the Cyclones and a terrific columnist for the Gazette. We'll talk with him about all of the news that has come out over the last 24-hour period as far as the this potential lawsuit anyway. Now, from 8 former African-American players that played under Kirk Ferentz. And we got a game to get ready for, too, with Iowa and Purdue, and no one's talking about it right now. Jeff Brohm, by the way, positive for COVID-19. Sounds like he will not be on the sidelines on Saturday afternoon at Ross-Ade Stadium when Iowa takes on the Purdue Boilermakers. It will be his brother that will be the interim coach, the way it sounds. As of right now, 3:30 on Monday afternoon.
Well, that was looked to be true with Nick Saban for Alabama. But after his positive, he tested negative, 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 and he was on the sidelines Saturday night. Yeah, that was a false positive, folks.
I'm not saying anything.
86-83 on the text sign. If you know Raymond Brathwaite, who has taken over for Chris Doyle in the strength and conditioning, he is not the type of person to sweep anything under the rug. If things are as bad as they were at Iowa, I would think Ray would have said something about it before all of this. And actually, Brathwaite refuted one of the players' claims after Doyle was released. So you got to remember Brathwaite has worked for Chris Doyle for some time and had a relationship there, but apparently this texter knows Brathwaite and knows his character and doesn't think that anything would be swept under the rug.
Yeah. 3:31 here on the program, and we're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up in just a little bit. Iowa-Purdue, we're going to talk to Tim Newton later on in the week. Buttons is working on getting connected up with an Oklahoma State scribe as well. Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Cyclones, I believe, up to, what, number 17-ish, something like that. Okie State at 6, I want to say right now in the AP poll. So that's a good one coming up on Saturday. That's a 2:30 start. We've got a 12:30 pregame for you on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM for that one. That'll be coming up on Saturday. Looking forward to that. And looking forward to Coach's Cuts coming up tomorrow with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They're going to check in on Kirk Ferentz's weekly Zoom meeting with the University of Iowa. And Coach's Cuts is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. We're going to talk a little bit about the World Series. More on that tomorrow, and a lot of baseball with Cal Eldred. Football coming up tomorrow. But when we take a break, we'll come back. Mike Halas of the Gazette joins us. Well, plenty to talk about with Mike, and we'll do it when we come back.
Prior to going to DePaco, my credit was not the best. I was driving a car that was having mechanical issues. So one day I just went there and Mida sat down with me and went over my finances, and we did what's called a money makeover. We were able to get me signed up for a credit card, and I used that to build my credit so that I could be able to get my own car. I love my car, and it's something that I can brag about, honestly, because it's mine and I worked for it, and it's something that I'm proud of. DePaco Community Credit Union and the money makeover was able to get me moving again and in a new car, and I can't thank them enough.
your money for good. Learn more at DePaco.com. Equal housing opportunity.
Time to refresh your space? Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help with impeccable, well-born cabinetry. The Alexander design team respects and can work with any budget. And in addition to stunning kitchens, they also create home offices, mudrooms, laundry rooms, bathrooms, even living rooms with built-ins. Design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Play your game with the First Bet risk-free, up to $500, only at Elite Sportsbook. Just sign up for a new Elite Sportsbook account and make your first bet online. If it is graded as a loss, we will match it with a free bet up to $500. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for a list of casino locations and sign up today. You will always be in the game with Elite Sportsbook. For a limited time only, must be 21. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
All right, let's start the game. Which product has provided growers with powerful SDS protection for 5 years and counting?
It's so easy. Is this a trick question? The answer is obviously Elevo C treatment.
It's not a trick question. You are correct!
Knew it. Yes!
Mm. Oh, man, what a start. Will the right answer still be Elevo C treatment in the second round? Tune in to find out. BASF. We create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions.
Busy night of sports coming up on KGYM tonight. It will start at 6:30 on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM, the Cyclone Coaches Show. And that will be on 1600 AM, 102.3, 6:30 until 8 o'clock. And then at 6:30, the nightcap of the doubleheader Monday Night Football. The originally scheduled games, Button's Dallas Cowboys will take on Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals coming up tonight. Of course, in a half hour, it will be the first game of the Monday Night Football doubleheader.
A matinee, so to speak.
A matinee, as the Kansas City Chiefs will be in Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills and in Orchard Park, New York. So, got to get out of here and get to watching that. We'll see. Tomorrow, the World Series gets underway. Tampa and the Dodgers. We'll have it for you at 6:30 and all of our frequencies tomorrow night and Wednesday night as well for you right here on KGYM. 1345 Buttons. I do not feel good about our defense tonight. I think Kyler Murray is going to run all over us. Us. It's a Sid Hartman tribute right there. Indeed. We'll let you know about our football games on Friday night as well, coming up here in just a little bit. We want to bring in Mike Kolas, Gazette Sports columnist here. We talk with him on Mondays throughout the fall and the winter as we get into the first game week for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and absolutely nobody is talking about Iowa and Purdue on the football field. Mike, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
It snowed today.
Painfully aware.
Don't shovel your driveway, okay?
I just got it off my car's windshield and back window, and October.
Who knew,
yeah.
Right?
What's your reaction to the news of this letter being sent to the University of Iowa and a threatened lawsuit?
Well, not surprising, I guess. I mean, anybody who thought that the independent review that Iowa commissioned and put out was going to be the end of it was, you know, dreaming. Uh, There is a significant number of former Iowa players who are happy with having made their voices felt and subsequent actions taken by the program, and then there are some who are not. And those who are not are the ones we'll be hearing more from this day forward. And whether or not you think the lawsuit is frivolous or completely justified, it doesn't matter. It happened. It's, you know, it appeared on the websites of the Washington Post and USA Today and Yahoo Sports and probably many others I didn't see. And it's bad. It's bad publicity. It indirectly cost them a recruit today. It's not going away.
With that being said, the door is open, like you said. Where does this end? If Iowa settles this particular lawsuit, if it becomes a lawsuit, then is that open the door for others to come in? And where does Iowa? There's just a lot of questions right now, more questions than answers as far as this whole process is concerned.
Yeah, and I suppose there always are in a time like this. But, you know, the person, I've got to be careful not to name names, but I will say this, that the attorney that these eight former players have hired, this isn't just some ambulance chaser. This isn't some mouthpiece. It's not amateur hour. This is somebody in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who's got a national reputation. And I suspect that he's not doing this just out of the goodness of his heart, that he plays to win. So, you know, the University of Iowa Athletics Department hasn't been the biggest winner in the courtroom over the last decade. And I don't think that they really want to see their high-profile coaches deposed under oath to talk about all their interactions with players over the years, talking about things that may have been said or done. So, it's going to get real interesting.
Let's talk about the game, Mike. I assume you're going to West Lafayette?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
No, not as of today, I don't know. And that's about really all I can tell you.
Well, regardless, you'll have an eye on it one way or another. Jeff Brohm, the Purdue coach, apparently not going to coach because of a positive COVID-19 test. But aside from that, with Rondale Moore returning for Purdue, I think Iowa's a 3.5-point favorite. Looks like it, you know, normal circumstances would be a heck of a game.
Yeah, under normal circumstances, there's no way of knowing. Week one, we saw some weird things around the country back in September when Big 12 teams opened up and offenses were ahead of defenses in some places by considerable margin. And you're talking about a whole lot of wide receivers who are going to be in that game who can torch defenses on both teams. Purdue's got the marquee names, not just Rondale Moore, but David Bell, who caught 13 passes in Kinnick Stadium last year as a freshman. And this will be the first time Iowa will have faced Moore and Bell together. So that's pretty potent. On the other side, you've got Iowa with just its biggest arsenal of good wide receivers and a tight end and a running back who can catch the ball as perhaps it's ever had. So with neither team having a quarterback who's established in the college game. So to me, it's completely unpredictable. A first game with new quarterbacks, basically. Purdue's have a little experience, but I don't know. You know, to me, point spreads are meaningless. It's which defensive secondary has got its act together, and in turn, you know, the defensive fronts.
All eyes, especially in the state of Iowa, who are Hawkeye fans, will be on Spencer Petras, no doubt about it. To see how he is going to come out, to see how he is going to handle the situation. And, oh, by the way, it's in the middle of a pandemic. Oh, by the way, it's a road game to start off your collegiate career.
Yeah.
There's just so many things that this young man is juggling right now. And, it, like I said, all eyes are going to be on that young man.
Yeah, if he's great, their offense, you know, might be one of Iowa's all-time best. If he's great. If he's competent, it should be a very good offense. So, you know, I guess root for competence and take anything else beyond that as gravy. This was a quarterback they wanted out of California, and his high school pedigree was fantastic in Northern California. In fact, BYU's quarterback, a fellow named Wilson, is off to just a sensational start for that team, which is 4-0 or 5-0, I forget which. And Wilson canceled a visit to Iowa after Iowa got an acceptance from Petras. So that would tell you that this guy's in pretty good company. And, you know, if he comes out firing and hitting on Saturday, well, I think your view of this team's going to change a lot. But it's, you know, the things you mentioned, Scott, it's patience is probably going to be a good thing to have, but it's a short season and you can fall out of the race quickly. And here you're playing a team in your own division in the very first game of the year. So a good start's kind of paramount.
We've shared some remembrances and thoughts of Sid Hartman in his 100 years, including 84 in the newspaper business. Still shaking my head about that, but I've got my remembrances, just a few, but I wonder if you did, Mike.
I never had a conversation with him. I mean, I think he grunted at me a couple of times in press boxes.
That's probably better than a lot of people got.
Yeah. Especially from Iowa. I got a kick out of him. You know, he was one of those bigger-than-life personalities who I liked hearing about and reading about because features were written about him over the years. I remember one of the alt-weekly papers in the Twin Cities wrote this long story about Sid. And I was in my hotel room, and I could have been doing anything in the Twin Cities back when I was at an age when I, you know, would go out and could go out. And I think I killed like 90 minutes in my hotel just absorbed reading this long takeout on Sid. And this was 20 years ago, at least, to do what he did. I mean, he had a column in yesterday's Star Tribune. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was like his 110th, 115th column of the year. Dude's 100. That defies all logic and reason. But it also says something about doing what you like in life instead of just drawing oxygen. And he loved it and he worked at it, but it was what he had to do. And he was at a place where they couldn't and wouldn't get rid of him because people still read him. And he was one of these people who was kind of scorned a lot of the time from people within the industry. But he was not scorned by the readers, at least by and large. I mean, he worked it. Every day he made the rounds and he you know, made calls, made in-person stops. What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? He didn't take no for an answer and just sort of bulldozed his way to tidbits and columns day after day after day, year after year. It totally boggles my mind.
Well, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, and we might touch upon it again before 4 o'clock. I truly believe he may be the end of an era. That era, like you talked about, that bulldog type guy. I mean, everyone knows the story, the Brooksy story of tracking down Jackie Robinson after he was told you couldn't talk to him several times, and just he got the interview. Sid is the same way. In fact, had this not the same tape recorder, but a similar tape recorder all through the years. And if you told Sid he couldn't do it, you can't go on the field at the Metrodome and talk to Randy Moss.
You can't chase Prince down a hallway and get him to talk to you.
Sid's chasing Prince down a hallway.
Yeah.
And that's
And Prince knew who he was.
Right. And that is the era, I think, that we lost over the weekend, maybe to its entirety, because those guys like that, plus guys that they wore their heart in their sleeve. Sid Hartman was going to root for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, whether you liked it or not.
Right.
And if you didn't, then I'm going to take it up with you out in the hallway. We don't see them anymore.
You're entirely right. You're entirely right on that. But he comes from such a different era than even we do. I mean, he comes from, you know, the 30s and the 40s, where it just was different. I mean, he was the general manager of the Minneapolis Lakers for a while.
Yep.
He had as much to do with bringing an NBA team to Minneapolis and helping the NBA sort of get going as anybody. And a newspaper person isn't supposed to be involved with stuff like that, but this used to be common. Newspaper people were always working side gigs, you know, promoting boxing matches, et cetera, et cetera. But there was a time of people who, you know, are of the wholly of the internet generation when newspapers were kings and kingmakers. And newspaper columnists and even reporters to a degree were larger than life figures, were powerful people, were people who were among the most prominent people in their cities. And that day is gone, and it's not coming back. It's just the way it is. Things change. Things always have changed, always will change. But Sid's from a generation where a Sid Hartman was a very powerful person. And if you were working for a sports franchise in the Twin Cities, you took his calls, you answered his questions, or you paid a price.
Well, to take it local, and I'm sure you know this, Mike, our former colleague Gus Schrader and one of Sid Hartman's nemeses was very instrumental in getting Iowa Stadium named Kinnick Stadium back in the 60s and 70s. In fact, he started that fight when he was at the Daily Iowan and then onward into his days at the Gazette. So kind of underscoring your point about the influence that those columnists and those newspaper guys had back then.
Yeah, you know, it was a different era, and the word media wasn't even used. It was the press, and the press meant newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way it is anymore, and, you know, tra-la-la. Mm-hmm.
True. A couple more minutes with Michael Oss here at 3:51. Iowa State has perhaps their most important Big 12 football game in a long time on the road at Stillwater, Oklahoma on Saturday. An Iowa State win would go a heck of a long way. It's not going to ensure that Iowa State is going to the Big 12 championship game, but man alive, all signs point to Dallas through Ames if they win.
Yeah, you said it. It wouldn't guarantee anything, but it would be another big notch in the belt, and it would be another team behind it. It would be the second top six team that it had beaten, Oklahoma having been the other. And it would probably shoot them close to the top 10. So, yeah, big game. Two good teams. I don't know if either one's a great team. Oklahoma State's got some good ball players. They've held their opponents to like 9 points a game in this season. That's almost unheard of, but the three teams that they've played haven't been the creme de la creme either.
And they haven't played
Iowa
in 3 weeks.
Iowa State's played a very good schedule and is 3-1 and has looked better with each passing game. So I think I've looked at Saturday's slate, and I would say that maybe Michigan-Minnesota is the game of the week, maybe, but maybe this one is.
And it's confirmed that Iowa and Gonzaga, December 19th, 11 o'clock tip, so it won't conflict with anything, I don't think, probably, in the Big Ten football championship weekend.
No.
I think a lot of folks are looking forward to that.
I would be. I mean, it's a CBS game in December for Iowa basketball, and we haven't seen anything like that in a long, long time. So the hope is that it's 2 months away and you kind of look like a fool if you've set anything in stone that's 2 months away when it involves anything. But, you know, knock on wood, that would be a fun one. And it's Iowa's only got a 7-game non-conference schedule, which I would think would be released in the next couple of weeks. And we know that that's got Iowa State, that's got an ACC Big Ten Challenge game, and Gonzaga. So you've got some good ones in those 7 games.
Yeah, some real good ones. All right, Mike, appreciate it. We'll actually talk football on the field more next Monday. And always thank you for stopping by, talking with us, and take care, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, stay safe.
All right. Michael Oss, Gazette sports columnist. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Halas. Quick break. Come back after this.
To those who love the grind, run with us on a John Deere Gator UV. Because your daily routine may change, but the land stays the same. There's still ground to cover and a herd to keep in line. Out here, the work never stops. So keep going on a Gator UV with the power to forge ahead. Nothing runs like a deer. Search John Deere Gator for more.
City Tractor is your John Deere lawn and turf headquarters in the corridor. Visit us online or in store at 645 Penn Court in North Liberty.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Where is your haircut gone? We know you don't get out as much. You don't drive by your regular sport clips and pop in for that MVP haircut experience that is so much more than a haircut. But isn't it worth getting out for? For that legendary hot steam towel for your face, massaging shampoo that makes you melt into your seat. Oh man, you remember that, right? We found your haircut. It's right where you left it. Sport clips. It's good to be a guy.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Ready for an oil change? O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need. Our professional parts people can suggest the best products for your car and budget. Like 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter, everyday low price just $26.99. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
It's time for some straight talk. You know what covering your bases is in baseball, right? Making sure you have no holes in your defense. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. And you'll pay up to 50% less than big carriers and still use their same networks. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G. No contract, no mystery fees. Fully covering your bases for 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class, 3:57, just time to wrap things up. More on the Iowa football news coming up with Todd and Alex. They are next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Cyclone Coaches Show tonight, 6:30 until 8 on 1600 AM and 102.3. Monday Night Football, the Cowboys and the Cardinals tonight, 107.5, 106.3. That is also at 6:30 coming up this evening. We'll talk baseball with Cal Eldred coming up tomorrow. The two number ones made it to the World Series, Mark.
Go ahead and weigh in. KGYMRadio.com, our poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Did you like Major League Baseball's expanded postseason? Yes or no? Again, KGYMRadio.com is where to access that. I see Clayton Kershaw is getting the ball on game one for the Dodgers.
Why not? It was a very strange game seven last night. Very strange. We'll talk more about that with Cal Eldred coming up tomorrow. Braves look like a 7-7 UAAU team running the bases yesterday, and it probably perhaps cost them a pennant. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I never thought I'd see a pop-up go 3 steps from the warning track. There were a lot of things last night that were a little bit strange about the game of baseball, but we'll see how it all plays out. And our two games coming up quickly on Friday nights, 107.5 FM. It'll be Prairie hosting Davenport North, 106.3 FM. We'll have Minneapolis at West Branch coming up from the Little Rose Bowl on Friday night, both of those at 6:45. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next on KGYM.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up
to the time you wrap up,
good night.
There's a lot of meetups,
hey, everyone.
Eatups,